Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark. I've been enjoying it. Probably next Sunday morning, with being I Love My Church Sunday, will be a different message. Probably won't be out of the Gospel of Mark per se, but we will jump right back on that the following week. So hoping and praying that everybody will take the opportunity to invite some people with them or bring some people to the church service next week. We always have plenty of food, so we encourage them to come and plan on staying and be a part of that special day. I love my church. Okay, so one of the things, I know I say this, and I'll probably continue on saying it because I think it's interesting, and I think it's truth, is the fact that if you go through the Bible and go through books and go by verse to verse, the preacher can't pick and choose what he wants to preach and try to pick on something. It's the emphasis that the Bible makes. And today we're going to look at a message, once again, and the title of the message is, Take Heed What You Hear. Take Heed What You Hear. And it's how you hear the Word of God and the importance of hearing the Word of God. You say, Pastor, you talked about that last Sunday with the parable of the sower, and we did, because it was talked about how we receive it, how our heart is, and whether or not we're able to receive the Word of God, and talked about the different type of soils or the different type of hearts, how some was receptive and how most was not receptive. Once again, he puts another parable, actually two more parables, that's a similitude or very similar. And that's, once again, Jesus is putting the emphasis. If you're here on Wednesday night, we've been talking about our blessed series and our blessed theme, and talked about how blessed in his deed, and who is the person that's blessed in his deed, and talked about, once again, not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And today, when we come to this spot, we're going to look at, Jesus uses a parable. Once again, we've learned before that the parable, in the most simplistic form, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and it's something that he would teach. Sometimes it means that we have to teach and dig a little bit deeper to get the exact meaning or to get the fulfilled meaning of it. Here in Mark chapter number 4, we're going to look at verses 21 through 29. It's two different parables we're going to try to cover today. We might make it, we might not, but we'll see what happens here. But the first one is what we're going to spend most of our time on. And I really enjoyed this once again, going back through it again, reading. I've read it probably a number of times since I've been saved, number of times in ministry, but there's a special thought there that's talking about if you're willing to receive the Word of God, God's going to give you more of it. He's going to give you more understanding. He's going to give you more enlightenment. But if you're not willing to receive the Word of God and you're not going to listen to it, He's not going to give you more. Sometimes people are not as close to God as they think they should be. And sometimes people think, I don't understand the Bible. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. And this could be one of the main reasons is found because of the fact that in verse 25 says, For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even to that which he hath. It's talking about the receiving. We're going to get to that in a minute. But let's go ahead and start in verse 21. It is a familiar illustration that Jesus used. And it says, And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Now, as we understand the context of the message this morning, many times we hear about, hey, let your light shine. Don't hide your candle under a bushel or don't let it hide your light under the bushel. And that is talking about a personal testimony. It's mentioned multiple times in other gospels and even here in Mark, but that's not the specific meaning here. This is actually talking about divine truth. When the truth of the Word of God brings, it's the light that it brings. And when you hear the Word of God, it's the light that is entering into your life. What are you going to do with the truth that's being entered into your life? When you hear the truth, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to take that truth and you're going to hide it somewhere so you don't apply it to your life? Or are you going to take that truth and put it into a spot of preeminence so that way it can be applied to your life? Now, once again, you could say in the most basic thinking, it's if you receive more light and you let more light change you, then obviously your light is going to shine brighter. That's great if you want to look at it that way. But according to what I believe the Bible is saying here is it's the same type of similitude in the parable, and the idea that it's how you're receiving the Word of God. The light that it's talking about here is divine truth. This word candle here is meaning a lamp. It's not like the candles we would think of today. It's more of a lamp, and it's something that would have a wick, and it's something that would have a container for oil, generally olive oil. And while the lamp is used elsewhere to speak about one's testimony, here in the context, it's speaking of divine truth. So what are you going to do with the truth when you receive it? Look what it says in verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And saying divine truth, it covers all territories. There's nothing that you're going to hide from it. There's nothing that it does not approach, nothing that it touches. There's nothing that you cannot apply it. Verse 23, if a man have ears, let him ears to hear, let him hear. So that's the truth. The same thing we learned about last week. If you have ears, hear what's being said. Don't just take it and hide it. Don't just dismiss it. Don't let having a bad heart just be so hard or so filled with other things choke out the life of the divine truth that is being brought. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. And once again, there's take heed what you hear, saying be careful in what you're listening to and what you're hearing. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Saying if you're going to receive it, if you're going to take in the word of God, there's going to be more that comes, more divine truth, more light in this world that's full of darkness. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that he hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Saying that it's going to take away even the divine truth that's there. If you're not going to apply it to your life, it's not going to be something that is going to be, you're going to apply and it's going to go away. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. Now, this is a second parable. The first one is the parable of the lamp. The second one is where you're talking about the parable of growth. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. And I know it says the kingdom of God. I believe you can apply this to a church. I believe you can apply this to the to an individual's life, talking about growth that happens when we receive the divine truth. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground. So once again, it's a sowing. It's an individual that is casting the seed into the ground. What's the seed? It's the divine truth. They take that divine truth and they spread it abroad and shall sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. So it's something you're going to keep an eye on. He's going to get up night, get up day, and continually to take watch and talking about spiritual growth that's there. We don't know how that spiritual growth happens. We know God's the one that does it. Just as the even though they have different ways of describing about the germination and the seed and the soil, it's God that brings up that vegetable or that harvest. And he says in verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So it's referring to the different steps of growth. There's first the beginning, and then there's the next step, and then you have the full ear of corn. And then it continues on. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. Lord, we need to hear truth. According to what the scriptures are saying here and the Bible is saying is this, we take this divine truth and we apply it to our lives as something that we will continue to receive more and more divine truth and we'll have greater understanding of what your desires are for us. But Lord, as many of us have done in the past and may be presently even doing, if when the divine truth is given and we ignore it and it continues, that the word of God becomes less and less important and comes taken away to where the value it to it in our lives becomes non-existent. And we live lives that are cold and harsh, like that hard heart that we heard about last week. Lord, I pray you help us today. Help the understanding of the truth that happens here, that we will learn and that we will grow, that we will hear what you want us to do today, but just not hear, apply it to our lives. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so once again, we gave you a little description already. Christ is speaking how one hears and receives the word of God. How do you hear it? How do you receive it? We're gonna do it. We don't always do sermon. We're gonna do an illustration here this morning, so no one get afraid. But we're gonna turn the lights out for a second. So Kaylee, if you will, turn out the lights to give you a nice understanding of what's happening. Where's my flashlight? Okay, so that's it for right this second. We're gonna have it. So we're talking about a light here. We're talking about a lamp. And when we think about the lamp, it says in verse 21, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed or not to be set on a candlestick? So Kaylee, why don't you get the rest of the lights? So right now, it's going to become even darker. And even just go ahead and turn them all off if you can. So see how it's dark in here now. Now, for somebody says, well, I need light. Well, I have a light. And the light's important. And it helps us see. and I don't want to shine in anybody's eye, but if I have this light and there's a need here, the darkness of the world, we have divine truth that comes. And that's what the light is. Light, it encompasses all darkness. Now, if I took this light and put it in here, is it doing you good anymore? You're not. And that's the illustration of the story here, is if you take the divine truth you heard and you put it in some place that it can't be seen, or you don't apply it to your life, it becomes worthless. And so that's what the Bible is saying here, is what are you doing with the divine truth that you hear? Is it something that you take and you're making it into a spot that it can be seen? Is it something that you can actually be a part of? Or are you taking the truth and you're putting it away? The Bible not only talks about this, it talks about putting in a spot that might show a little bit of light. Because if I come here and I move it over here, it might show you a little bit of light, but it's not affecting what it really could. It's not showing you as much as it could. But the Bible's saying, if you would put it into a spot, it talks about on a candlestick, a spot of preeminence. And Kayla, can you put on the pulpit light? If you put it on the spot of pulpit light, if you give it a spot of preeminence, then all will be able to enjoy. But if you only have it here, then it's something that no one else is going to be able to be a part of and see. So let's go ahead and turn all the lights back on. So what are you doing with the divine truth that you have? Many times what people do with this divine truth is they get it. They come to church, maybe they read it, maybe they hear it, maybe, and what they do is they take that light and they put it here. They put it away. It's like, what's the purpose of the light? It's not helping them at all. That's the point. When you hear divine truth, there's something you're supposed to do with it. When you hear the word of God, you're supposed to apply it to your heart. You're supposed to apply it to your life. It's not just enough that I've taken this light and I have this knowledge and I'm going to take it, I'm going to bring it out, and then I'm just going to put it away, never to use it again. What's the purpose of the truth? You're missing the point of it. And that's what he's saying here in verse 21. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on the candlestick? As we saw with these lights that were here, that if you put it, the light into a spot of preeminence, it will shine through all areas. And you look what it says in verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And it gives this idea there is nothing that the divine truth does not approach. There is nothing that cannot bring. So let's not get ahead of ourselves here. A lamp is used to enlighten. It's ludicrous to hide the lamp that has been lit. Divine truth that is not rejected but applied to our lives is a light that we give as preeminence. But divine truth that is rejected and we hide under a bushel or hide under a bed is something that does not help. And, you know, you can even take it a step farther here. He said, why do they choose a bushel on a bed? Well, I think the reason why they choose a bushel is that it's a grain measure which is found in every house. And this time it represented money, it represented business, it represented commerce, and some way a materialism. Just like last week when we heard about the thorny soil, there were things that choked out the word of God. And as we hear the divine truth, if we allow the things of materialism to impact our lives so much that we're not going to be able to take the divine truth and apply it to our lives, we care so much about the things of this world, and we care so much about the material things of this world, what we do is we care so much about that when we hear the truth and we hear the light, instead of responding it and applying it to the materialism side of things, we take that and we put it over here because we don't want to hear it. We don't want to respond to the word of God. We don't want to hear the divine truth when it comes to our materialism. He said, well, that's the bushel. Then what about the bed? What's wrong with a bed? Nothing wrong with having a bed. This is not referring to a mat. This is referring to a piece of furniture like we would have in our house in a bed. Obviously, it's not the exact same type of bed, but it kind of gives the idea of laziness. You ever want to lay in the bed a little bit longer? That's me. This morning, usually on Sunday mornings, either I stay up really late Saturday nights or I get up really early on Sunday mornings. Sometimes it's both. And so this morning, I wanted to hit the snooze button. I wanted to hit the snooze button again and hit the snooze button again. It's because I didn't want to get up and do what I needed to do. But sometimes the reason is not just that thorny soil. There is times of laziness and being lethargic in our Christian life that will take the divine truth. And instead of taking what is necessary and applying it to our lives, it takes effort. It takes work. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. It takes us denying ourselves. So when we hear truth, this is what the Bible says. So how am I going to respond to what the divine truth is? Am I going to take it and look at it and consider, okay, am I being lazy when it comes to the things of God? Am I being lazy when it comes to my spiritual disciplines, whether it's reading my Bible, whether it's praying, whether it's being a witness, whether it's being serving, whatever those things is. And we have the divine truth here. We see what the Bible says, and we say, no. I like my life the way it is. I like not being so overboard. I'm going to take this divine truth, and I'm going to put it right over here. It's good. We should have it. We should listen to it. But I'm just not going to apply it. And when we do that, you know what happens? Does it help you at all? The answer is no. So that's why Jesus is sitting here and he's saying, like, same thing we said last week in that parable. He says, if you get this, you're going to get so much more. If you don't get this, you're not going to get hardly anything. If you learn how to listen to the Word of God and apply the Word of God and be open to what the Word of God says and apply it to your heart and let that light and put it in a spot of preeminence in your life to where it shines all the areas, as it talks about here in verse 22, and that there's nothing that's not manifested and there's nothing that can be hid, nothing that's kept secret, but you let the Word of God make application to every part of your life. You set it on that candlestick. The right response to the Word of God is that we put the Word of God in a prominent place in our life. You think about it, for there is nothing hid. It says the Word of God will enlighten, it will illuminate, it will reveal. The Word, like a lamp, helps to discern perils and discovers good things. Any type of darkness, the light's going to affect. No matter how small the light is, it's going to have an impact on the darkness. And you say, there's different areas of our lives that could be dark. The Word of God is going to have impact on those things. Now, there's a caution here. It's an implied caution was given here, and it talks about hiding under the bushel and underneath the bed. But here's the precaution here. Look what it says. It says in verse number 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear with what measure ye meet. So he's saying here, look, there's divine truth. Divine truth means it comes from God, means it's right. You go and you go to churches all across town. You go to church. You watch those places on TV. There's divine truth. There's truth. And then there's falsehoods. There's lies. We need to be careful what we are listening to. There are some things that our ears are not allowed to listen to or should not be listening to when the Word of God should. And when it says how, and you say, well, where do you see the word how? Well, in the same story, in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, it says, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So it's a parallel passage, I believe. So one saying, be careful what you hear, or take heed what you hear. The next one is, take heed how you hear it. That's two important things here. It's don't just take everything for granted. Hey, that's got to be right. That's got to be truth. That's a person who says they're a Christian and they say they're a believer and they say they love God, so they must be telling us the truth. No, be careful what you hear. If I go against the Bible and go against the Word of God, you shouldn't listen to me. Now, I know different things. Well, there's different people have different opinions about some preferences. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the truths and the doctrines that are found in the Bible. And you come from there, and he says, be careful what you hear. The Berean church was known for, and they were encouraged because of the fact they did what? They checked the Word of God daily to see whether or not those things were so. And that's not an exact quote, but it's an understanding there that they were known. And in 1 Thessalonians, they held fast to what was good. They proved those things. Be careful what you hear, but also be careful. It says, take heed what you hear, but also it says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. How talks about the manner in which you listen to the Word is very important. Christ exhorts us to give the best attention to the Word of God. Not many people give heed or take careful heed to how we hear the Word of God. Many times we seldom read the Word of God. Seldom do we listen to preaching, at least with our heart. Seldom do we actually take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. They do not apply what they hear in their own life. And this is something you got to be careful with. This is the precaution. Make sure you take heed here. Take heed to the fact that what you're listening to. Take heed to how you're listening to it. And here's the reason why. Here's the principle and the precaution. Because he says, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which is hath. This is what one preacher put it this way. Your response to the Word of God determines if God will give you more of the Word. If you do not give honor to the Word, do not listen, or do not listen well, etc., then you will get nothing. Those who pay attention to the word will get more illumination. If you do not get much from the Bible, here is a likely reason. It's because we're not taking and listening to what's being said. I remember, and we mentioned it on Sunday, on Wednesday night. He that hath my commandments, in John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, in that last phrase, and will manifest myself to him. He will manifest himself to them. Who's that? The person who's hearing the word of God, the person who's keeping the word of God, the one who is loving the Father. That's the person that Christ is going to manifest himself to. And what the scripture is saying, hey, I'm struggling with listening to the Bible. I'm struggling. I don't always get to hear. I wish I knew more about God. I wish I knew more about the Bible. I wish I had a better understanding. I wish I had a better grasp. He's saying here, listen to it. Obey it. Then he will give you more. But if you choose to hear it and not do it, he's not going to give you more understanding until you're willing to be obedient on the things that you already understand. It says it right there. You're like, well, that doesn't sound right. Why do I hear preaching and teaching? It's because he wants you to be obedient to it. He desires that you will listen. And that's what he's saying. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. It's the principle. There's a precaution there. He says, take heed on what you listen to. Take heed how you listen to it, because you need to embrace the things that you've learned in divine truth. Instead of taking the divine truth and putting it away, they're saying if you put it away and don't listen to it, he's not going to give you more and more divine truth. We need the divine truth. We need the truth. We need to understand the word of God. This is how we should live our lives. These are the things that we should apply to our heart. We should apply to our lives. But if we continue to say, no, no, our heart's not right, and something else has the preeminence, if we've made an idol of something and no longer is it this, that I want to take the word of God, I want to hear the divine truth, I want to put it as a spot of prominence in my life so it can look at every area of my life. But instead, we take it and we put it underneath here and we wonder, God's not speaking to me. I haven't learned anything from his word. I come and I go and I don't get anything out of it. I don't understand that. Have you learned to listen to the things that you know? Sometimes we sit and we listen to someone speak and we're wondering, man, that was great. Where did he get that from in the Bible? Or where does she learn? As someone who's learned to say, I want to be obedient for the things that I know and that I understand. Next parable. Once again, we're going to try to move quickly here. Verse 26 is talking about, and it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And once again, there is it's a parable similitude. It's recorded only in the Gospel of Mark. It's a spiritual growth that's illustrated here. The growth, as I mentioned earlier, I believe can apply to an individual spiritual growth or even a church growth. And so the sowing for the growth, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Christ has used the sowing and seed earlier, and it gets a good picture. What do? You take this light, you take the truth that you've heard, and it's the Bible, it's the word of God, and you sow it out in the world. You sow it amongst others. Look, well, who's supposed to do that? Well, it says in verse 26, a man should cast seed. And I don't think it's just saying man, and the idea is only men's responsibilities, but instead it's intended to be a picture of teaching and preaching the word of God. I think that's applicable for all. We could all be people out there that are teaching and preaching the word of God. I know not everybody can preach, obviously, but there's a human instrument. We can all be sowing seeds. We can all have the divine truth. We can all be casting out the things that we've learned, the things that we applied. I learned this week. These principles are things I took and I studied and God spoke into my heart. Now I am sowing a seed, and you're supposed to take these things and sow them to others. You see, the person in the sowing, this represents the ministry of proclaiming the word of God to mankind. It illustrates the truth that God uses human instruments to do his work. It's something that God chooses to use us to be able to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And they cast the seed into the ground, it says in verse 26. What does the ground represent? It represents the heart. There's individuals out there, and we're trying to cast the word of God and the seed into people's hearts and lives and saying, hoping that they will respond, praying that they will respond. But look at the growing in this. As the seed is there, the purpose of it is so that we would grow and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. it's the period of the growing takes time. A person's not going to turn around and everything's going to be perfect and they're going to be super Christian the next day. It doesn't work that way. There is a process. There is time in the growth. We must learn to be patient. There's progress in the growth. You see verse 28, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. This expresses the progress of the seed's growth, or the progress as we allow the divine truth to impact our lives. We continue to grow and grow and grow as a more mature believer. It does not occur overnight. So it is the same way spiritually. We don't exactly understand exactly how this, you can have science to the part about how the things grow. It says in verse number 27, he knoweth not, talking about the seed physically, but also spiritually. We don't know how that person's going to grow. We know what we're supposed to do to help us grow, but it's God that does the work. God that does the work, just like he does physically with the seed and the soil and sprouting out the harvest. Is the same thing in our life spiritually. We think we got it figured out. If you do this, this, and this, no, it's something we're not going to understand. We must just learn to be faithful to his word. And then it continues on, and he says in verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So when the fruit is brought forth, what does that mean? It means as it's becoming ripe. You see it. There's times to pick the fruit and there's times not to. Do not force circumstances. Do not force people. Help them to grow spiritually. Be patient. And then it talks about the promptness. But immediately when it happens, we are to wait till the fruit appears. And when it appears, harvest it when it's ripe immediately. Failure to do this means that we're encouraging them as they're growing to put them out to do the work of the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. He putteth in the sickle. That word putteth in the sickle actually is referring to sending forth. And the harvest, we're supposed to send forth the harvest. Send forth the word of God. So as we grow as believers, we're supposed to bear fruit. Now, all that being said, how do we apply it? And I know that was a mouthful. How are you listening to the word of God? According to what the Bible is saying here, is that you receive divine truth. It's not something when you hear the Bible and you hear the things being taught today, oh, that was nice, that was good, I'm just going to put it away. I came to church, I did what I was supposed to, I'm done for the week. That's not what he's saying there. He's teaching these people. He's teaching to this group. He's teaching his disciples. Listen to what I'm saying. Apply what I'm saying. This is divine truth. If you do not apply it and you just take it and hide it somewhere and say, oh, maybe someday, you're not going to get any more divine truth. Instead, he wants you to be applicable for those things that you have already heard and that you already know and that you've already listened to. There is nothing hid in our lives. Everything should be open for the Lord. He already sees. He already knows. He already understands. How do you respond to the truth of the word of God? You hear things like children obey your parents. That's easy to talk in because there's not many children out here today. Yeah, they should. They need to learn that. They do. What about us when he tells us to love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul, all the... You know, what about when he tells us to meditate on the word of God? What about when he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? What about when he talks about us being faithful? What about when he talks about us giving? What about when he talks about loving and forgiving? What about when he talks about all these different other areas of our life? How do we respond to it? Because he's saying you get divine truth and you hear divine truth. He's like, I wish I could go deeper. I wish I could understand more. I wish I read some of these authors and they have spiritual depth to them that I'm missing. Because why? They've learned to accept the word of God, apply the word of God. God's done a work in their heart, and now they're sowing forth the seed. Say, Pastor, I'm not growing like I want to. Is there something in your life that you know you should be doing and you're not? Is there something in your life that you know that you should not be doing and that you should? So today, take the word of God, apply it to your heart. Apply it to your heart and your life. Then you think about the spiritual growth that is there, and is our responsibility to go out there and help win people to Christ, not only to just see them baptized, but also to teach them of all things, other things that we've learned. Grow into that. Let God do the work. Where does it begin? Obey the word that you know. Stop making excuses. We talked about in Sunday school class, the book of Haggai, consider your ways. Is there something in your life? Haggai's people were saying, oh, it's not time to build the temple. And God says, it is time.
And he says, it's time that you stop saying that someday I'm going to get this right and someday I'm going to do this. Because he's, according to what this passage is saying, there's a precaution there. There's a principle in this precaution that if I'm not going to obey the things that I already know I should be doing, that there's going to be a limit of the divine truth that you're going to be receiving until you're willing to be receptive to the things that you know you're supposed to be already doing. And he's like, I'm not growing as a believer. Are you being obedient as a believer? Is it something that you've learned and grown from? So here, as we consider this, let's talk about one last thing. So we're talking about divine truth. The only way a person can understand divine truth is if they know God and if they know him personally. So here's some truth that the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches that we're all sinners, that we're all in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ came to this world to pay our sin debt. A sin that we cannot pay our own, that we would spend the rest of eternity in a horrible place called hell paying for our sins. So what are you going to do with that truth? Many people in this room have heard the truth, and they respond to that truth. They realize that they're a sinner. They realize they've fallen short of the glory of God. They realize that the things that they have done is displeased God, and they've done things that not the way that God wanted to do in their life, and that the wages of sin is death, saying that they're going to be eternally separated from God forever. They heard those truths and they responded to that truth. Well, what can I do? God convicted their heart of sin and said, hey, look, you need a Savior. Your sin has separated you. And they repented of that sin and they turned to God. They repented of their unbelief and they put their faith and trust in God. Let me encourage you today. Like Mr. Chambers sang earlier, do you know my Lord or do you know my Savior? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know him personally? The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That he loved us so much that he was willing to send his Son down the cross to die for us, because all of humanity, all of mankind has this need. And he paid that sin debt for us. It is by faith, believing and trusting that he died on that cross and he was buried and rose again to pay our sin debt, that we can know him and that we can understand divine truth. And this parable would be something that is even more applicable to us as we continue to grow as a Christian. If you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, we'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved according to what the Bible says. Divine truth, not according to what Pastor P says. Yes, it's what Pastor P says because he believes what the Bible says. Not according to what man says, but the Bible says that we are in need of a Savior and that we would cry out to God and ask him by faith to believe in us, that we would believe in him and him alone for our salvation. Have you ever done that? It's divine truth. What are you going to take and do with that divine truth? Many people take that divine truth and they hear that light, and even God sometimes speaks to their heart and they put it away. That's that hard heart that we talked about last week. Sowing the seed, hearing it, and saying, no, don't want to have any part of that. This morning, I would encourage you, the most important decision you can make in your life is to understand your need, all mankind's need, of a Savior, and believing and trusting what Jesus Christ did on that cross. To those in the room that say, Pastor, I'm on my way to heaven, I am a believer, I've trusted in him. I know that not based off the fact I've lived a good life or based off the fact that my granddad or grandma was saved. I'm not minimizing that, but sometimes people say that, oh, I'm saved because of this. I'm a church member and I'm saved because I saw that I was a sinner. God convicted me of my sin and I cried out to him and asked him to save me from my sins based off of what he did on the cross and rose again for us. All those things. I'm on my way to heaven, you might say. Are you growing as a Christian? Are you growing as a believer? Are you responding to the word of God? This is the emphasis he places here. He says, how's your heart? Then he says, here's divine truth. He didn't give us this light to hide it and to ignore it. He gave us this light so we can place it in a spot of preeminence or a prominent spot in our heart, so that way nothing is hid from it. We apply it to every area of our life and we take the word that we know and we obey, and God begins to give us more and more understanding. I don't get anything from the Bible. Are you an obedient Christian? Because what the scripture is saying there is, if you're not being obedient, there's going to be a challenge for getting more. because he wants you to obey what you know already. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, speak to people's hearts during invitation time. I know you spoke to my heart. As a pastor, as a child of God, I want to know you better. I want to know more about the Bible. I want to learn. I want to grow. I don't want to just stay where I'm at as a believer. And I see that this could be a problem in my own life and a problem in many people's lives, is that there's certain things I do not want to surrender to. And if that's the case, then that's why I don't know you better or understand you better. Help us today to be surrendered to you completely. And Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that it would come. And Lord, let us have somebody take a Bible and show them how they can be saved on their way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.